Tonight we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we continue our studies in that epistle for support to the Corinthians. Last week we considered from verse 17 to 24, the same chapter, and we can remember what Paul that place applies the necessity of married believers to continue with the unconverted spouses. He applied their patience they should have and the contentment they should have to the outward life conditions of believers in general. You can remember how he drew that application. And from that, he urged all believers to live with a contented mind in whatever state or condition that we are, so that there should be no agitations about our conditions. As he said, that all should continue in the same situation they were in before the Lord saved them. And I said, in love, only lawful situations, if all that our condition was lawful, he urges us to continue. And that is what the scripture teaches believers, so that there isn't any rashness. Now I'm a Christian, all things will change, you know. If the Lord will that my situation should change, you order my life for things to change, if I have to make changes, it will come by and by. But then, so that he tells us that even those believers whose spouses will still remain as unbelievers, they should continue to live with them and with the will of God. And he added that actually our outward things don't matter, but obedience to the Lord. So that the things that are conditions of life is not, and it doesn't mean that the Lord has blessed us or has not blessed us. No, this is the opposite of what the charismatic is nowadays. I am blessed when things are prospering in the world. I was supposed to say, no, I should be content in whatever state that I am. And that's what he teaches us from that. So that the things of this life, the outward things, doesn't matter. What matters is obedience to the Lord. So we continue from the same chapter as I've told you, and you see up here. So we are continuing with the same subject, which we have Christian principles on marriage. So this is part 5 of the same, for the chapter treats these matters in various ways, from the right to marry, and also if we marry, the commitment in marriage, and those whose spouses may separate from them, how do we treat it? Matters of divorce, and as last week he treated matters concerning spouses who got converted, then their spouses are not converted. So he gives us advice what to be done, and that's what he applied it to the conditions of believers. So we continue from verse 25 onwards, and here to verse 40, he will speak about the unmarried, and also matters relating to their entry into marriage, and that he will advise that at the end of it all, if in marriage and everything in this life will be passing, and that whatever we are married or not, or it shouldn't be the concern. You see, it should be concerned with matters of spiritual life and eternity. So we will compare that to time, that our time is short, so that we married or whatever we are in, whether we have or not, that shouldn't matter. But then what matters is our commitment to the Lord, and that, so he compared, he will relate that to time, and that the time of believers on earth is short, so that whether we are married or not, we should not be so much attached to things, whether marriage or not. Okay. So we continue from verse 25. So I read to you, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And if you look at Apostle Paul's argument, it seems here the Corinthian church have asked him, because looking at the beginning of chapter 7, because they wrote to him to ask him about marriage from like verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. So he was answering the questions they were asking him. So he is now concerning Virgin so that he has come to to that portion concerning those who are married. So I seem that they asked him whether their marriage should continue in the same state as their marriage state, or whether they should marry. And as I said, all these questions were in connection to their condition at the time. There was persecution. They were in time of distress. As Apostle Paul will hint, verse 25, 26, I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. See, so his advice is in relation to this, that for the time, the early church, if you know church history, there was so much persecution against the church. So the people's life were moving here and there all the time. So, and you know, marriage is something that really binds us with many responsibilities. So the questions were bothering such things. So he tells them, now concerning virgins, I have no commandments of the Lord yet. I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. So meaning here that the Lord has not given him any direct revelation on the matter, as I've been using the same expression before. However, he will give his advice on this matter, since the Lord has enabled him to be trustworthy in his ways. Apostle Paul was a servant of Christ. He was appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ to be his servant, so that even things that the Lord has not given direct command, his advice will be to the glory of Christ. So, and that is what he tries to tell us here, that he has obtained mercy. The Lord has given him that grace to be faithful, so to be trustworthy in the ways of the Lord. See, so that as an apostle, he is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the ways of Christ is his delight. So that whatever advice he gives, whether he has direct revelation or not, he will give advice that will really honor the Lord. So we see that Apostle Paul's claim of faithfulness, it has to do with his commitment to honor the Lord and also to seek the best interests of the church. His commitment. So it's not that he's boasting that probably he has been faithful as an apostle. It has to do with his commitment to honor the Lord in his ministry and in his life, and also to seek the best interests of the church. If you read his epistle and his concern for the glory of Christ, the churches of Christ will really honor the Lord in this world. So he tells us who Apostle Paul was and how he desired to honor the Lord, and that the Lord has granted him such mercy, and that he desired to be trustworthy in all matters. So we see the Apostle Paul saying, he tells us that he will not give advice concerning this matter that will promote any selfish or worldly agenda. His advice, no matter how it will be, will not promote anything fleshly or anything that will honor the world. And that is indeed how Christians ought to be. You see, our life, even in matters of life where we have preferences, where we don't have, even food and things that we are allowed to use, we ought to do all in honor of the Lord. We should not just give ourselves to them merely for giving ourselves sake, but then it should be for the honor of Christ. If we are Christians, if we are one of those that the Lord has saved, you remember, Apostle Paul quoted that we are saved, we are purchased with a price, we should not be servants of men. In verse 23, see, ye are bought with a price, be not ye servants of men, including others and their will and ourselves. We should not actually serve ourselves. It's not interesting. This world, people serve them. Naturally, we serve ourselves. Everybody is of his, for his own interest. And then we do some little good here and there, but the main thing is me and myself. But no, to the Christian, it's to the honor of Christ. And that is how we measure the Christian life. Are we faithful to the Lord? It's not how much influence we have in the world, but how much faithful. And that faithfulness depends on the Lord's own mercy. Because it is mercy that brought us to be among his people. So I suppose that as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And every Christian ought to be so. we should be able to say, in our life, the Lord has granted us mercy to be faithful, to be trustworthy, to be sincere in all our conduct, in all. And so in the life of a Christian, there should be any insincerity. Well, we may fall into sin and God's power weakness, but that shouldn't be our habit. That, you know, some people, their habit is to just lie. Just they don't care if they are lying. As a Christian, we should be sincere in all matters of our life, whether in our relation with the church or with others, in our workplace, in our family life, everywhere, we should be trustworthy, we should be faithful to the Lord and honor Him. As Apostle Paul is treating about the marriage, in relation, husband and wife, how we should be sincere and committed to each other. We should not be those who hide things and think we are wise and no believers. Those who ought to be sincere. So Apostle Paul, claim of faithfulness has to do with that. That's the general character of believers. You see, nowadays, you know, the general idea of Christianity is about just the outward. Well, maybe I go to church, I do this and that, but for my life to really honor the Lord, no. Separation from the world, no. There is no difference of a Christian. When it comes to entertainment, sometimes some people don't know if they are Christians or not. What they enjoy is so different from the worldly. When it comes to choices about, I mean, how to use things, I mean, they don't care how they have used things or not, you know. If we are faithful to the Lord, all these things matters, you see. Apostle Paul will come to that, how we should not abuse the things of this life. Even the very, things that are necessary for our life. So, when he says he's faithful, that he can give his advice on this matter, that's the extent of it. For ourselves, we ought also to be faithful. So now let's move on, verse 26. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be, as thou bound unto a wife, seek not to be loose, as thou loose from a wife, seek not a wife. So 26 to 27, we bring them together. So here Apostle Paul, he said he's going to give his advice, but his consideration was because of the difficulty of the time they were in. So his advice is, he's going to give advice which will actually help them to bear the difficulties of the time, you see. So to him, he thinks that it is safe for all to remain in the state that they are, whether they are married or whether they are not married. See that? So he says that, are thou bound to a wife, seek not to be loose. Are thou loose from a wife, seek not a wife. So that whether you have or you don't have, just remain so that you can bear the troubles of that time so easily. You know, why do people really sometimes become weak to temptations? It's pressure, you see. We fall into temptation because of pressure and all matters of things on us. So the Christian ought always to make himself light, you see, so that the things the responsibilities we put on ourselves shouldn't be so much so that our mind is so occupied with them that at the end of the day we don't really think of our Christian life well. So that when things are thrown at us, we are not able to decide well. We make a decision or we say something and we later on realize, oh. So you see, this is what Apostle Paul consults their good to give this advice. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. So my advice for you, that you should remain where you are. If you are not married, don't bother yourself to marry. And if you are married, then hold on to that responsibility and be faithful in it. So that whether a widow, then continue your widow. So again, we draw a lesson from here that what Apostle Paul says, that means that in life choices, Christians should not merely consider that which is lawful, but also how each preference is suitable for the time in relation to our usefulness to the Lord and the good of His church. You know, marriage is lawful. Why is it that he said that, well, he supposed that it should remain? So that, though it is lawful, but it is not convenient at the time. That's what he means. You see, and for us, though things may be lawful to us as Christians, but it may not be suitable for a particular time. If we give ourselves to those things, our commitment to the Lord, we may have troubles. And this is one important fact about Christian life. So that's why a Christian is always a thinking person. It's not that, well, things are okay, then you move on. No. Is it right for the time that we are in? Is it right to engage in, not only for myself, but for the church? For the cause of Christ? Am I, if I engage myself in this thing, will I be useful to Him? Because the life of a Christian is centered around the interest of Christ. Again, I'll quote you the verse 23. "Ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men," you see. And again, if we are those who have been, we know that we have been bought with a price, those who are true believers, we must always know that. And you know, the servants of men, the word servant here has to do with slaves. In the Greek, the word doulos means slaves. So the word servant here has to do with slaves. So we are slaves of Christ. And what does a slave do? What does all his life is in connection with his master's command. So the believer's life must be connected to that, you see. So if the thing is lawful, as long as it will not give me that time to honor the Lord, I can hold myself against it so that I can be useful to Him. Again, Christians must weigh responsibilities carefully with scripture life before undertaking anything. We must never consult our self-interest first. You see, everything, that every decision that we have to make, to go, to come, to engage, to relate, whatever, we must be sure that we are doing so with better scriptural understanding. So that we should not consult, well, how convenient will it be for me, and how happy I will be, or how, you know, how that's how the world people think. Then also, if it is good for me, or I'll be convenient, fine. But no, the Christian doesn't think of convenience in this part that this world that we are in. We are, you know how the Bible pictures Christians in the epistles? We are like military men at war. How do the military men at war do? They have to abide by the commands that are given them. They wait, if they have to wait, by command. If they have to sleep, by command. If they have to engage, by command. And that's where Christians see himself or herself in this world. The Christian life, last week I said, it's not a loose life, it's a restrained life. So you see, Christians are those who are willing to abide by the law, by rules, by regulation. That's what the Christian life is about. Now there's a good thing, well, as they say, in worship, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So people can throw their leg, can throw their feet, I mean, their hand anywhere. No! God of the Old Testament, the just and the Holy Ghost is saved. See, we approach Him by the means of the Lord Jesus Christ. But His standards have never changed. The restraint for His people. Know what? When the Lord Jesus, when God saved people from the people of Israel from Egypt, and He gave them His law, they are peculiar people, and they should honor Him. See, why are they peculiar? They are not peculiar because He told them. It's not because among all nations they are better. They are the most smallest of all people, but He chose to bring them to Himself, so they should be mindful of His ways. How come the Lord led them to be punished by foreigners and even go to exile? Because of disobedience, you see. So for us as believers, for us as Christians, if we are Christians, we should be careful. Else we will not enjoy the peace of Christ on earth, you see. He told the disciples when He was about to leave, "My peace I give unto you," not that the world gives. How do we enjoy that peace of Christ here on earth? Obedience. In that hymn we said, trust and obey. I mean, there's no way we can, I'm paraphrasing, there's no way we can enjoy God's blessing if you don't trust and obey. So it should be in our mindset. Christian life is not the loose life. Sometimes people say, oh, you are too holier than thou. No. As long as it's obedience to the Lord, let them say what they say. I quote to you the verse 23 of our chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. "Ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men." The opinions of men should not regulate my life. The ideas of people should not regulate my life. Whether they are relations, whether they are, whatever they are, they are my bosses, whatever, no. In matters of my obedience to the Lord, they have no say in it. Even if they are my parents, they are not willing to obey the Lord, I have to obey the Lord and disobey them. You see, it matters. Remember what Daniel, the friends of Daniel, they told the king of Nebuchadnezzar, oh king, we are not going to obey you, so long as it's against the laws of our God. And they stood still, you see. But are we? And that's the picture Christianity is. That's how we have to picture Christianity. It's not the loose life. If we are happy to have a Christian which is loose, then we should be careful about Christianity. So for Paul's advice here, no, it is lawful to marry, but for the time, it is good, probably to restrain. See, so the necessity. Necessity. So I move on to verse 28. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, thou shalt have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. So, see, Apostle Paul, since it is lawful, you can go on and marry. You see, that if you marry, I have not sinned, you see. Because marriage is not sinful. So that in that distressing time, yes, it's good to marry. If you marry, I have not sinned. But look at what he said. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble with the flesh. I spare you. But he warns them of the additional responsibilities that those in the marriage state will have to bear during such difficult times. I'm sure we know that those who have married, it is true. What Apostle Paul is saying is true. And especially in times of trouble and difficulties, the burdens, the trouble of bearing other people's burden on you, your burden becomes heavier. And as a married person, you have your family. No, you are not thinking of yourself alone. The safety of your family at all times, in time of difficulty. When you are single, you are moving because time of persecution. But the news I read about the pastor in China who is leader of the underground church who was arrested. The family were pleading that their father was health-wise not well. You see, the family connection. So they are trouble for him. You see. And I read a newsletter from one in Michael in Sri Lanka, tsunami has struck Sri Lanka. And his story was that he left his family in one city and went to, other city for a church program. He's an officer in their church, and he serves in the church. So, but when he was there, and the disaster of this flood happened, and among them he was so agitated, he was so troubled for his 6 months baby, some children and a wife. He didn't know what happened, and the what made his trouble worse was that all the telephone lines, because of the rains and they have cut off everything, so he cannot reach them with telephone. He called all the numbers on his phone, he couldn't get anyone from his hometown, and he couldn't sleep, you see. So the next thing, he has to try and get there. And he tells marriage is difficult. I'm just relating this to let us know what Apostle Paul is trying to tell us here. Because even if he had his mother and father there, that wouldn't so much trouble him so much as his wife and his 6-month-old baby and the children, you see. They are direct responsibility. So that's what Apostle Paul is trying to tell us here, you see. Marriage is good, but it comes with responsibilities. Which, in times of trouble, as Apostle Paul advises, it may not be lawful. And again, I relate to matters where I said, there are things that may be lawful, but then they may not be expedient for the time. See? So that's how believers think. It's not that, if I do this, I've not sinned. Probably, if I say this word, I've not sinned. That's the word really, are the words useful? Some people, they think, when matters happen, I should just say something. No. Christians have to be careful. I should just give my... Because when I say something, I've not done anything wrong. No. For instance, in the church, because what you say may hurt somebody. So you have to... But you have to wait for a proper time to say that thing to those who matter. You don't just stand and just say something and you are gone. No. A Christian don't act that way because he has to just say something. You say cannibal people. No, a Christian is not cannibal. A Christian, if a Christian thinks for me I'm a cannibal, it's not a good behavior. A Christian is not cannibal. You don't just say something because we feel that we should say something. It shows a bitter heart. It shows an impatient heart. No. We are told to make sure that our words edify. You see, our words means to build up others. So, though it may be right to say it, and again, when it comes to being husbands and wives, sometimes, as Apostle Paul is speaking about this, there are things you may have to say, but just hold yourself for the sake of peace. You see, the Christian is not about am I right? You know, people always say, "Is my right? Well, it's my right." You know, sometimes you know what does glorious right. How his right was, stepped upon because of our salvation. And the God of all creation should be more treated by his creatures. Should be hung on the tree and shelfly. Whose right has been stepped on such far like himself? Nobody. You see, that the God of all creation should be so brought low by himself. And we think of our rights. No. Yes, sometimes we have to say things and put things right, but we should be careful how we deal with matters, you see. And this is applied in what Apostle Paul is trying to say here. Verse 29. By this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that the above they that have wives be as though they have not. The time is short. Here, this is a reference to our existence as in this world. And it relating to our usefulness to the Lord. Just consider, how, as a Christian, how many years, how many times do you have to be useful to the Lord? You see, the time is short to serve the Lord. We are not living in this world for eternity. We are service for the Lord this world just a short time. Health may come, our health may hinder us. Many things may hinder us. We cannot be useful. Death is of my coming. But as a Christian, thinking of how short time I have to serve the Lord, this is what Apostle Paul is trying to say. The time is short. Concerning our usefulness to the Lord, so that every moment might be spent to the honor of the Lord. You see, every moment as a Christian, the time is short. How many times do you have to serve the Lord here? So that if all plans of life are formed in this view, by this truth that time is short, I'm sure no Christian will be loosed concerning his commitment to the Lord. You know that everything in this time is short. How time runs fast, everything. I mean, if we are married, how long do you enjoy married life? Death may come in, may be gone. I mean, one day we all be out of this life, Christ doesn't come. So that even in married relations, short, how short it is. And I must all apply it so that we must not be so glued to things of this life so that our commitment to the Lord is affected. He moves, so it remains that both they that have wives be as though they have none. Here, Apostle Paul doesn't mean that married Christians should be careless of their responsibilities. No. It's because time is short, it remains that those who have life should act as if they don't have. That doesn't mean that we should be responsible, married people, no. But rather, what it means is that those who have married, they should not let their married responsibilities hinder their usefulness to the Lord. Time is short. It is good to marry, but we should not allow. So that our attitude must be those, though we are married, we are responsible married people. Yet, considering our shortness of time, even marriage itself shouldn't become something that because of that, we are not committed to the things of the Lord. Because, you know, Apostle Paul advised all the about how they will be eased to really commit themselves to the things of the Lord. I think there was a verse here. If I could quote it. I've missed it. Verse 35. I'm just quoting it. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely for the Christian life, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So his view is that when we are eased from the things of this life, we may to attend the Lord, to serve the Lord without distraction. One thing that many, even some who are genuine Christians, forget is that. So Lord, when the Lord saves me, my whole life is service to him. My whole life is to serve him. Whatever I do, I shall have his glory, so that if it's work, I shall think of, when I work, how can I support the things of the Lord? If it's any engagement, It should not mean just, well, I need a job, so I'll get money for myself, and that's all. No, that's not the mind of a Christian. Yes, you support yourself, but your aim is that how, when I work, I'll be eased with financial burden, so I can really commit myself to the Lord, so that I don't really be so much trouble with life, with matters to support myself, you see, so that you can attend the Lord without distraction. That is Apostle Paul's concern, so that all that he's saying here is in connection with that. So his advice to help us, so that we will not be so attached to things that are lawful, we may not be so attached to them, so that we'll be distracted to serve the Lord. So, here it remained that both they that have wives be as though they have not. Look, in all life relations, marriage relations the most, I mean, are so closer. Even than even parental and other biological, I mean, other relations, because the closeness of that is only broken away to death. When death, only when death comes in. And it's something that so close, and yet even that close relation which marriage has, it shouldn't hinder us if we are married to serve the Lord as we ought. And this tells us that if we are not married, then our commitment to the Lord must be great than even those who are married. Because we are eased. We don't have children. We don't have children to take care of every morning. When coming to church, you don't need to chase up children to bath around. You don't need to wait for your wife or husband. You just wake up, you are gone. You should be more eased than the married. You see? So my commitment, if I'm unmarried, should be more than the married. We are all supposed to be this, but then looking at practical, I'm sure we know what I'm trying to say. They are married, are free. You don't have children on your neck. They have to go and wake them up, probably to bath them, the wife bathing them, and you maybe iron their dress. You, a single person, you just iron your dress, you bath, and you are gone. So you are eased, you see. So the single life must be more useful to the Lord. That's what Apostle Paul is saying here. You see? That's what Apostle Paul, and if I'm a Christian, this should concern me. Like if I'm in the church, and that even the married people are more committed than me, I should be alarmed. If I'm a single person in the church, you see, I should be alarmed. That means I am becoming a lazy Christian. Christians are not lazy people. I should be alarmed, you see. I should be alarmed. Distractions, causes us not to be useful to the Lord. Verse 30. And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. So see how he applies the shortness of time to other circumstances of life, relation to even those who have been bereaved. I see you say that don't weep. No, people have must weep for their loved one. But he said don't let even that situation of life hinder your usefulness to the Lord, you see. Look at the kind of language Apostle Paul is using here. You know, when you read the history of the church in the Bible, you see that Christians nowadays are so lazy. We are lazy. Look at the labor of Apostle Paul and daily Christians, even under persecutions, you see. And you read that, the history of the early churches, their life. That's how Christians, we have to encourage ourselves. We don't just think of life, we have to think in light of Scripture, in light of those who have gone before us. You see, how did they serve the Lord? Whole families and every commitment, you see, to the Lord. It's not to be a Christian. It's not a simple matter. It's a serious matter. You see, but you see how people think Christianity is just a simple. Well, I've accepted Jesus Christ. I live my life anyhow. No, forget about heaven. Forget about having a place in heaven. If you do not suffer with Christ, you will not reign with Him. That's what Apostle Paul said. If we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. And these are matters connected to that. If I think I can be a loose Christian, forget about heaven. Your claim of having Christ and His glory will not be, you will not realize it, because your own looseness shows that you are not sincere. You see? If I'm a loose Christian, I'm not sincere. Look at what Christ has done for us. To leave His glory above, to come to suffer shame and punish. And here I am, thinking of my own self. No, then I've not tasted of His forgiveness. My life has not been changed by His sufferings, you see. If we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. That should be my motto. Am I suffering with Christ? Am I commitment to Him really showing that I am genuinely His? How much do I have to? I cannot commit so much, you see. How much can you do to equal what Christ has done for you? No, we cannot. We are always debtors, you see. A debtor to mercy. That is all that we are. So here he says, matters, they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice, even those, if we are happy, we should not make it, I mean, as if that is all life is about, and as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. Yes, even if we are, having acquisitions, it shouldn't really matter concern our life. Shouldn't be so much something, so much that concerns us so that we don't become committed to the Lord, you see. So he reminds us that we should not, as believers, if we are believers, we must not be too attached to the matters of this life, but rather matters of eternity. You see, matters of this life, yes, just a help. When the Lord, when God created Adam, he created the world for him, to serve him. Adam was not to serve, you know, he was to cater, he was not to make that responsibility his interest. His interest was to honor the Lord. You see? But now, because of sin, the human interest is about how we should serve this world and keep or spend all our time for this world. But not for the life of a believer, no. It has turned over. The life of the hopes and the ambitions and the desires of the believer have been returned from what sin have done. That's what one thing that Christ died for. That's for us. That's what Apostle Paul said. We should be what? With those who are what? Be transformed by renewing of our minds. Our old ideas about life must be thrown away. We should embrace what Scripture teaches us about life as Christians, you see. It's not what I think. No, what Scripture says. That is what a Christian must bind himself to, whether we like it or not. Else, we are not. We are not those who have tasted of that suffering and the pain of Christ and the price he preaches for us. Verse 31, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. And you see here how he tells us we should not abuse this. And what does it mean to use the using of this world? To use this world is to enjoy the necessities, the necessary things of this life. So it is not wrong to use the things of this world as food, clothing, shelter, relations, as like marriage, relations. They are the things of this world. And it says that when we are using these things, we should not abuse it. And they that use this world as not abusing it. So he cautions believers against immoderation. You see, so we see where Apostle have concluded, thinking. We should be loose to the things of this earth. Even marriage, which is necessary, yes, we render all our responsibility as Christians, but it should not be something that is the main thing in life that we cannot serve the Lord. No. We should live in moderation. We should not spend even what we have in our last. So that when I have, well, I just want to. You see how now people think, well, I want to enjoy life. I want to work and accumulate and I'll enjoy life. I'll have vacations. No, the Christian don't think like that. It is good to have leisure, but that shouldn't be your purpose of life. That for me, my life, I have to have more of leisure. No. Say the life of Jesus Christ, who is our example. Read this. All that we see today is here, tomorrow is all about. We say, I should be about my Father's business. Yes, we should have leisure to, relax from tiredness, but that shouldn't be our aim for living or working. No, that Christian shouldn't make leisure his kind of lifestyle. No, yes, we rest a while, but life as a Christian is not that of leisure. He says, and the fashion of this world, and they that use this world as not abusing it. And also he said, for the fashion of this world passes away. The fashion of this world is all that looks glorious and beautiful in the present world. Whether things we use, relate, whatever in this world that is so beautiful and glorious in the context of the world. Excellent and nice and good things of this life. That's the fashion of this world, as riches and honor, relations, whatever. the fashion, they are all mere show and appearance. They are all for a time. They are all transient. They will soon be, which we ourselves will be out of this world soon if the Lord doesn't come. The next 50 years, or maybe far, how many of us will be living if the Lord doesn't come? So that if we ourselves will be passed away, so that the things that in the world we enjoy itself, it may be there, will be gone. But sometimes it passes on and goes. For the fashion of this world passes away, meaning they are transitory. That's how Christians think of this life. They are not things that should really shape my life, cause me to fear, or cause me to doubt the Lord, cause me to become so troubled that I cannot trust. No, whether I have or not, the Lord is more than anything in this world, you see. The Lord is more than anything in this world. So that if I have Him, what more again can shake my, as the hymn writer, what can shake my sure repose? What? Nothing in this world. So the whole concern of Apostle Paul was that believers must view as transitory all things, even including marriage. And that's the idea, so that those who are entering marriage is love, but it's not something that is all. And those who are in it, marriage is good and love, but that is not all. That shouldn't really dictate our obedience to the Lord. No. Our life should be shaped by our obedience to the Lord. And as I always say, when you become Christian, you don't look at how you adjust the things of the Lord to suit your lifestyle. You rather adjust your lifestyle to suit the things of the Lord. You see? It's rather you who adjust yourself to suit Him. Not this, so that I give excuses for not, they are genuine, excuse why we are not able to commit ourselves to the things of the Lord. I'm not talking about that. But people, they don't care if they give so flippant excuses for not doing the things of the Lord. That is what I'm talking about. You see, may the Lord help us as we think about these things, as we think the thought of Apostle Paul.